Now I know that that scripture stops in the middle of a whole story. You can finish reading that if you would like to finish reading that. But what God gave to me was that scripture, and I wasn't going to take it any further this morning. We started our Lenten journey on Wednesday. We celebrated with ashes on our hands and our heads. Now that doesn't seem like a very good celebration, does it? Well, it's really not a celebration. As I said on Wednesday, it's a starting point, a chance to start fresh and new, to begin again. If you weren't here on Wednesday, it's not too late, it's never too late. You can always start over with God. Our God is a God of unlimited chances and opportunities. God always gives you time. God will always accept you back. God will always hear your confession. God will always let you start over. Let's take a moment this morning. We are starting a Lenten journey. We are starting with each other. Could we just bow our heads for a few seconds in prayer, personally, in silence? Silent in here, you can so clearly hear the streams of water flowing. When we start over with God, it's like the first day that we accepted Jesus. We are fresh and new in the faith. It's personal. It's intimate. But what do we do next? What did we do next? What will we do next? Today. Anyone? Any ideas on exactly where you move from salvation? There's got to be a next step in everything that we do. The next step is either to be baptized or to reclaim your baptism. I've seen them both ways to you. I know that there, most people in here, like the majority, most of you were baptized as very young children. When you came to Christ, it was your responsibility to stand before the congregation and say, I reaffirm what my parents did. I reaffirm the fact that I am God's child, and I proclaim to you and to everyone that I belong to Jesus Christ now. If that did not happen when you were a child and you came to Christ, then you would have been baptized. And when you were baptized, you would have made that proclamation as well. It works both ways. Did you know that while you can only be baptized once according to the rules of our denomination, you can reclaim your baptism as often as you want. As many times as you feel necessary, you can come to that baptismal font and reclaim before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ what you did. You can always reclaim in your heart what you once did. You can always renew yourself and reclaim before God that you want to accept that baptism. You want to accept that responsibility because that's really what baptism is. It's accepting God It's accepting God's mission. It's a renewal through the wonderful flowing waters of baptism. We are called to remember when we publicly proclaimed our faith, when death was no longer a threat, when we became children of God, we are called to publicly remember. Do you remember the day? How often do you think about and remember exactly who you are in Jesus Christ? You know, it's so easy to go through life without thinking about it. It's so easy to go through life and never give much thought to what happened that changed you. It's so easy to accept our baptism and accept Jesus Christ and walk through this world and never give much thought to what God's done to change you. But we should give thought to it. It should be on our minds every day what God has done. That God has saved us, that He has changed us, that we are different and new, and that we have a wonderful future. That should be on our minds. We're going to have a unique opportunity today in worship to reclaim your baptism. Remember your commitment to Jesus, and then remember what He did for you. Not often you'll get this opportunity all at once. If you will take advantage of the opportunity, we can walk together with Jesus through this Lenten season. I challenge you to move out of your comfort zone this morning. And don't be satisfied with the same stale routine that you've fallen into. I invite you to start over, to dig deeper, and to draw closer to God. As Christians, we should yearn for that opportunity. As Christians, our hearts should be crying out for the chance to feel a closeness with God that we have never felt before. Scripture speaks to it throughout. In Psalms 42:1-2, it says this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." This should be our heart's desire in our lives. Friends, today is a day to celebrate. The Lenten season is not necessarily a time of celebration. The Lenten season is a time for us to remember the ashes on our heads and to maybe just a little bit wallow in what we have done and be sorry for what we have done so that we can make the proper corrections. But Sundays in Lent aren't that. You see, and I tell you this all the time, I may remember, this is a Sunday in Lent. This is not a Sunday out Lent. Sundays are not a part of Lent. Sundays, the Lord Day, is set aside to celebrate the Lord, to celebrate your faith. And I hope that what's going to happen during these Sundays in Lent, as you see before you, is that we are going to celebrate our faith. I have to tell you that we pass devotionals out to you, okay, that hopefully you will read every day. But once again, this morning I noticed a mistake in the devotional. I'm going to call a company. Because it said that this is Sunday of Lent. And that is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. Listen. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that He was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. So He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now He had to go through Samaria, So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Because his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. This was, as John the Baptist had said, Jesus must become more and more, and John must become less and less. There is a lesson in those first three verses for all of us who belong to Jesus Christ. Our ministry always needs to be centered on Jesus, and he should be the focus, not us. Can we work and give glory to him? Can we work and give glory to Jesus? Can you be about God without taking credit on your own? It's a question you have to answer. Jesus finds himself at Jacob's well. In this time and place, Jews would not have been caught dead in Samaria. But Jesus had a purpose and a mission and a holy appointment with a troubled woman. Have you ever had that appointment with Jesus? I've had an appointment with each and every one of us in our troubles. In our troubles, in our troubled times, Jesus has come and said, "Here I am." He's had a holy appointment with us. He had a holy appointment with this woman this day. He knew that he needed to be there. He was not there by accident. Have you ever worked really hard for a long period of time to the point of exhaustion? When you finally get done, most of us would like a nice cold drink of water. Jesus, fully God, yet fully human, needs hydration. He needs water. Life-giving water. We need water to sustain our lives, our physical lives, our bodies must have water. No human being can survive without water. It is basic, it is essential, and it runs through our whole lives. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink when Jews do not associate with Samaritans?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She is basically saying to Jesus, "Your people don't like my people. Why would I serve you?" Our human condition. We separate ourselves in groups and find reasons to dislike anyone who is not like us or part of our circle. But what does Jesus do here? It's important to see this in our Christian lives. What does Jesus do here? He doesn't get angry at her. Instead, he focuses on what? The need of her soul. She has physically rejected him. She has pretty much said, "I really don't want to talk to you or give you a drink of water." And Jesus goes directly to the point. She has a need in her soul. Living water. Something to give eternal life for the soul. Don't be confused this morning. The water that we offer you this morning is not living water. It will not save your soul. But it is important because it will focus you on God if you will allow it to. This water that I will invite you to touch this morning and even put on your forehead if you would like. This is not living water. I've heard ministers before in the past say that when they baptized that they went and they drew the water out of the Jordan River. I guess that's going to make them a whole. But I tell you this morning that this is not holy water and this is not living water. But if you will allow it to, it can be important water. Because it'll be important if you make it important. It'll be important if you commit your life. It'll be important if you reaffirm what God has done for you. You see, this woman is not unlike any non-believer that we might talk to today. All they can see is what's needed for physical life. They just don't understand. They don't understand that eternity hangs in the balance. Friends, when you talk to the people of the world, they'll talk down on them. When you see what they're doing and how they're carrying on and all the many things that they do that you may have learned in church is simple, don't look it down negatively. Because they don't know. They don't know. You know. They know. They don't understand. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will be coming down a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus offers the water of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in and accept Him. If you belong to Jesus, this water will run through you for eternity. You will never need to receive it again. This water, where you remember your baptism, is not holy and is only meaningful if you allow it to be. This water that sustains us physically can also, if you will let it, be a powerful reminder of our commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, today is all about you. It's all about your baptism. It's all about what you want for your life in Christ. It's all about your commitment. Very personal. Very personal. Will you today decide to draw closer to God? Only you can decide. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray.